They told him on a Tuesday morning that the company was adjusting resources. The words were soft, but the blow was not. By 9:15, his calendar looked hollow. Half his projects had disappeared. A new name sat beside them. Someone he had never met. No one had warned him. There had been no performance plan, no formal review, no hint that his role was even in question. A week earlier, he had stayed late to fix a crisis that could have cost a client. Now, his access to that same client folder was gone. Human Resources brushed past him in the corridor and said it was part of a wider change. His manager said the decision came from higher up. No one could explain why the new hire had his workload already mapped out. The official story was restructuring. The whispers said something else, corporate strategy or sabotage. Chapter 1, Sudden Replacement. The first sign was not a meeting. It was a missing file. He logged in, clicked on a project he had led for 2 years, and watched an access error blink back at him. When the folder refreshed, he saw a new project owner listed under the title. New name. Same responsibilities. His responsibilities. He read the name twice. It did not belong to anyone on his team. Not in his building, not in his regular calls, not in any organizational chart he had seen. Yet this person now sat where he used to stand in the system. His manager called him into a small glass room that still smelled like old coffee and dry marker ink. The explanation came in slow, careful phrases. Restructuring. Streamlining. Aligning resources with strategic priorities. He asked when the decision had been made. The manager looked down at a notepad that had nothing written on it. These things move fast, the manager said. It is not personal. He asked why he had not been told before someone else took over his portfolio. The manager talked about timing, confidential planning, and how everyone was feeling pressure. None of it answered the question. In the hallway outside, Human Resources passed by like they were late for another crisis. He stepped in front of one representative and asked directly if his role was being removed. Her smile was thin and professional. There are changes across the company, she said. Nothing is final for you yet. We are looking at options. Then why does someone else have my projects already assigned to them? He asked. She glanced past his shoulder as if checking who might be listening. Systems are being updated in stages, she said. I would not read too much into that today. Then she excused herself and walked away before he could ask anything else. Back at his desk, he watched the office move around him. Phones rang, keyboards clicked, someone laughed by the printers. He sat in front of a screen that showed his workload shrinking without any formal notice that his job had changed. A coworker wheeled over on a chair and dropped her voice. They brought someone in last week, she said. I thought it was for a different department. He turned to her. No announcement, he said. No email. She shook her head. Only managers got that one, I think. He asked what she had heard. She hesitated, then said it anyway. Word is this came from upstairs, not our floor, not your manager, higher. He checked the internal directory and finally found the new hire's profile. The photo looked fresh and polished. The biography was vague but flattering. The start date was listed as recent, but there was nothing about the transition. No indication that the role had belonged to someone already seated at a nearby desk. Later that afternoon, he stayed behind as people filed out for lunch and opened older planning documents. In a shared drive that was not meant to stand out, he found a staffing plan marked as a draft. It listed new specialists assigned to future phases of his accounts. The document had been created weeks earlier. He scrolled. His name appeared in a column labeled Current. Next to it, under Projected, the slot was empty. Below that, the phrase New Hire Pending Approval sat in small text. The plan did not say his role was ending. It did not need to. It showed a future where his work existed, but his name did not. He printed the page and slipped it into a notebook. When he looked up, two colleagues at neighboring desks looked away too quickly. Later that day, he passed a break room where conversation dropped the moment he stepped in. One person muttered that the company was cleaning house quietly. Another said he should have seen it coming. But there had been no warning, no performance meeting, no written notice, no hint that someone else had already been chosen to do his job. By the time he went home, the new hire had been added to a shared team chat. His own role title stayed the same on paper, but inside the systems that mattered, it was already shifting away. What he did not have was a clear answer. Was this part of a broader corporate strategy, or had someone quietly decided he needed to be moved out and then built a plan around that decision? The difference would decide whether this was just business or sabotage. Chapter 2, Paper Trails and Closed Doors. By the end of the week, he stopped looking for verbal answers and started looking for timestamps. He went back into the system and checked the history on the staffing plan he had found. The draft copy carried a creation date that landed a full month before the day he lost his files. The last edit showed up 2 weeks before his manager first hinted at resource pressure. On the same shared drive, he found a recruitment folder. Inside was a file labeled with a general title that did not draw attention. Its metadata showed it had been created during a period when he had been praised for saving a troubled account. While he was staying late and taking extra calls, planning for his replacement was already recorded in digital ink. That was not an allegation. That was time and date logged by the system. He requested a follow-up with his manager to discuss it. The meeting invite came back as a short slot wedged between two other commitments. The subject line read, "Alignment check." The conversation stayed careful. He laid out what he had found. The early draft, the dates, the recruitment file. He asked if his performance had triggered the search for a new hire. His manager did not deny the documents. Instead, the answer shifted the focus upward. "There are directives I receive that I cannot control," the manager said. The role needed to evolve. The decision was to bring in someone with a different profile. "A different profile," he repeated, "or a different person." His manager did not respond to that line. Outside that room, information moved through quieter channels. A former manager from another department called him after hearing rumors. This person had left the company the year before, but still knew how things worked inside. "They started flagging certain roles months ago," the former manager said. "Not because of performance, because they wanted cheaper hires, different contracts, less pushback. Once a role went on that list, it was only a matter of time." "Was my role on that list?" he asked. "I cannot prove it," the former manager said, "but I would be surprised if it was not." Allegation. Not confirmed, but it fit what he was seeing. When he finally sat down with the new hire one afternoon, it was under the cover of a casual handover. They were supposed to walk through project history. Instead, he watched for cracks in the official story. "I heard you came in fast," he said. "How did they pitch the role to you?" The new hire hesitated, then shrugged. "They said the position was open because the previous person had performance issues," the new hire said. "That is all I was told." There had been no written warnings, no ratings that showed a decline. His last review had described him as reliable and steady. Yet somewhere, out of his sight, a narrative had taken shape that painted him as a problem to be fixed. When he brought this up in a scheduled human resources meeting, the room felt heavier than its size. A small table, a neutral wall, a printed sheet of policy that no one picked up. The representative spoke in polished phrases. "We take performance very seriously," she said. "We also take your concerns seriously, but decisions about staffing involve many factors. It is not always possible to share everything." He asked about the claim of performance issues. He asked if there was any record, any document that supported that description of him. She did not present any. "Perception of performance can differ between levels of management," she said. "Sometimes there are strategic considerations that do not appear in formal reviews." The meeting ended with no written summary, no formal answer, and a promise to circle back after reviewing the situation. Days later, a mid-level supervisor from another team reached out. They had seen something they thought he should know about. In a restricted folder, the supervisor had come across an internal memo. It carried a calm title about strategic workforce realignment. Inside, it described a plan to reconfigure certain roles to meet changing market needs. The memo did not name him, but it described a position that mirrored his. The key line said that some employees would be naturally displaced as new profiles were introduced. It framed this as a necessary step toward efficiency. The memo was official. The explanation was clean. What it did not address was how a story about performance issues reached a new hire before the person in the role even knew their work was being reassigned. He now had dates, drafts, and quiet confirmations. What he did not yet have was proof that this was targeted sabotage rather than a calculated strategy that treated him as a casualty of a larger plan. That answer sat above his manager, above the supervisors, in rooms where decisions were made and never fully written down. Chapter 3, Strategy or Sabotage. The turning point came from numbers, not rumors. He requested a copy of his performance history from the internal system, something the company allowed under its own policy. The report that arrived in his inbox covered 3 full cycles. Each rating landed at or above the standard required for his role. Comments mentioned reliability, client trust, and steady delivery under pressure. There was no written trace of the performance issues that had been mentioned to the new hire. Not once. He brought the report into a meeting with a senior director, a person who sat high enough to see the strategy that others only felt from below. The director looked tired before the conversation even started. "I want to understand whether the narrative about my performance came from your level," he said, "because this is my official record." He slid the report across the table. The director scanned the pages, pausing at highlighted lines. "Your file is not the problem," the director said. "The problem is the budget, the targets, and how we respond when the board wants fast changes. Roles get flagged. Once that happens, people start shaping stories around those roles to justify the outcome." "So someone shaped a story around me," he said. The director did not deny it. "I will say this," the director replied. "There was pressure to reduce costs in your unit. We were told to create space for new skill sets while keeping headcount tight. You were not chosen because you were the worst. You were chosen because you were seen as movable." He asked who made that call. The director named a committee, not a person, a level, not a name. Decisions made in groups where accountability was spread thin. Later, the mid-level supervisor who had found the first memo shared a second document that had recently appeared. This one used different language. It talked about underperformance indicators and risk mitigation through talent refresh. The description lined up closely with his role, but the references to underperformance did not match any document in his official file. 2 memos. One spoke about natural displacement through realignment. The other leaned on implied underperformance. Together, they created a story that could be bent whichever way leadership needed. The new hire agreed to one more conversation, this time outside the office. Over a drink after work, away from the company walls, they let their guard down. "I knew something was off," the new hire said. "From day one, it felt like I was stepping into a space that belonged to someone who had not really left. People looked at me like I had taken something. I asked about you. I was told you had struggled with the pace and that this change was best for the team." The new hire tapped the table with a finger, slow and steady. "If I had seen your performance report, I would have had questions too," they said. In the weeks that followed, he pushed for a formal review of the process that replaced him without warning. He presented the timelines, the memos, the mismatch between his documented record and the story spread to justify his removal. Corporate responded with a short written statement. It said the company had followed internal procedures and that all staffing decisions were made in line with strategic goals. It did not address the conflicting memos. It did not correct the claims about his performance. It did not acknowledge that he discovered his replacement through a system error instead of a direct conversation. Internally, some staff called what happened to him a controlled removal. A decision made first and defended later with whatever language was easiest to sell. Others said it was just strategy, the cost of doing business in a climate where numbers came before names. The documents showed that planning for his replacement began while his record still named him as an asset. The memos showed that the story about why he had to go changed depending on the audience. Whether that was corporate strategy or sabotage depended on where a person drew the line between normal restructuring and targeted harm. For him, the line had already been crossed the moment he opened a file and saw that his future had been rewritten behind his back. The final answer from the company stayed vague. The cost to him did not.